Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we bring you part two of Prince Nesta's interview with Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man. The Kenyan sprinter earned that title September 18th when he clocked an African 100 meters record of 9.77 seconds at the Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi. Part two begins with Prince asking Omanyala, can you tell us about your diet?
You know, like when you come from Kenya, the western part of the country, you know about ugali.
Yeah.
So that's like staple food in my house. And then a lot of fruits, a lot of green vegetables, a lot of proteins for recovery. And yeah, basically that is. And some carbs to supplement that.
How about alcohol, for instance? So, you know, wine and stuff. Are you even allowed to drink that?
Yeah, it's a choice. At least alcohol is not banned. But for me, I don't take alcohol. Not for the love of the sport or for the discipline of the sport, but I just don't like alcohol. I don't see the fun in it. Yeah, so that's not me.
I would like to also just know, like, you know, your mode of operations when you wake up in the morning. What do you do? Take us through your daily routine.
So it depends which part of the season you're in. Like when the season ended, like 2 months, basically 2 months ago, I was resting for like a month before now we begin the new season, which I began like 3 weeks ago. So right now, wake up, go to the gym, go back to train on the track. After track, come home, take some lunch, go back for training in the evening, come, sleep, repeat the same Monday to Saturday, doing that continuously. 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night is enough for me. And then sleep, steal some nap during the day, like an hour or two before the training sessions in the evening.
You recently represented Kenya at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. How was the experience like for you?
It was a great experience because it was my first ever big championship. And I thank God for my mental strength because I never felt the nerves. I never say that this is my first, I'm just coming here to enjoy. And I was not going there to participate, I was going there to compete. So it was a great experience. It was a great stepping stone. It opened a lot of doors for me. And I'm looking forward to even competing in bigger and bigger stages in the future.
So that was your first event, big championship, that is. And
yeah,
reached the semifinals.
8th overall out of 56 guys.
Wow. And, you know, you miss possibly getting into the finals by a whisker or something.
Yeah, but yeah, it was like by a rule, because the first two have to get automatic to the finals, and then they take the second 1-2 fastest losers. So I missed it on that because I came third in my heat.
Yeah.
Even though the second person in the second heat at the same time as mine, he made it to the finals because of that part of the rule. The first to qualify to the finals. But it was I don't regret anything. It was the biggest. I gave myself a thumbs up because it was a good performance I did.
I mean, that's such a big stage and I'm trying to put myself in your shoe. You know, it's a new stadium, Olympic Stadium. You know, of course, there weren't a lot of, you know, fans, spectators weren't really there. Possibly they would have made a difference if, you know, spectators would have been allowed at the events and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Cameras and all these things. You aren't scared at all. Plus, of course, you're facing people you just used to watch on YouTube.
Yeah, I watch on TV. I wasn't scared. I told myself everybody here has qualified.
Yeah.
So nobody's here by masses or by chance. So we are here with the same cut. So you just have to put your head up and don't fear anybody. Just go there and put in your greatest show. So that's what I did. And it turned out I got the semifinals, the national record, and it was a very, very good platform.
I like that confidence, man. I like the confidence.
Yeah, that's what carries me.
absolutely. And, you know, after the Tokyo events and coming back to Kenya, you competed in the Kipkeino Classics, actually. That's where you broke the record. And the event took place in the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, in Nairobi, Kenya. American Trayvon Bromwell won the 100-meter race in that particular event with a world lead time of 9.76 seconds. You came in second at 9.77. In fact, it was so close, you know, some people really couldn't determine who won that event, you know, it was so close. And Justin Gatlin, you know, came in third during that event at 10.03 seconds. You know, take us through the series of events before, during the event, and even after the event.
So the Kipkeino Classic was really hyped. It was a race between me and Gatlin, because so many people know Gatlin in Kenya, and so many people know Manyala. Nobody was talking about Bromwell. So people were hyping between me and Gatlin. I remember even at the press conference, there was so much hype until you can feel like this is going to be big. Yeah. So it was a really very good planned event. And getting into the stadium, it was around 6 and the lights were up. And I see people, there are so many people in the field. And then I'm looking at people and nobody's sitting down. Everybody is standing. And the commentator is there like, this is the moment that all have been waiting for.
Wow.
So even at the call room, the guys who write the names before the athletes entered the field were just in a hurry because they all wanted to get in. So they were writing our names so hurriedly so that they just leave us and go in and watch. So it was it was a really great and weighted event. And it was live again on TV. So you can imagine how big that was. And the fans, okay, there were a bit of fans in the field. But yeah, looking at people and seeing how people are waiting for such an event, it was really motivating. Yeah, after that, running the African record, everybody's talking about. I remember I got out of the field and everybody was waiting just to see me. Who is this guy?
You surprised the whole nation, honestly. And, you know, people couldn't believe it that a Kenyan known for, you know, long distance running, a Kenyan could run 100 meters at 9.77 seconds.
Yeah, it was big. It was big.
I'm pretty sure you also get such reactions like people are still, you know, in doubt, really, you know, if how could this guy do?
How is it happening? Yeah. There are those people are still doubting, but there are those who believed. They were not believing at first, but now they believe because I've done it consistently and repeatedly. Mm. So there are still those who are still waiting, that there are those who are saying, let's wait for next year and see what will this guy do. But yeah, it's nature. Because coming from Kenya and you've never been in the scene for the last 5 years, you're just coming like you've erupted. Consistency for next season again will be good.
You know, we saw a beautiful video of you after that particular event, you know, embracing the Kenyan president Uhuru Kenyatta after the race. What did he tell you?
It was a congratulations message, just congratulating me of what I've done. And he was so excited. And seeing him there was really humbling. And again, motivating, because if the president can set aside his busy schedule to come and watch you run, is something big.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man. And he was talking with Prince Nesta from Nairobi. And we'll hear the final part of their conversation later this week.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
As Ferdinand Omanyala mentioned in his chat with Prince Nesta, he advanced to the semifinals in the men's 100 meters at this year's Olympics in Tokyo. In the final, Italy's Marcel Jacobs won the gold in 9.80 seconds. Fred Curley of the United States won the silver medal, and Canada's Andre DeGrasse won the bronze medal. DeGrasse would also win the gold medal in the Olympic 200 meters final. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more.
This year's Tokyo Games marks the first time in 17 years that a sprinter other than world record holder Usain Bolt is crowned an Olympic champion in the men's 100 and 200 meter races. This past June, I profiled Canadian Andre DeGrasse ahead of the Games in his quest to win gold in Tokyo. And now the long wait is over. He won bronze for Canada in the men's 100 meter race. DeGrasse won gold in the 200 meters. And afterwards, he told reporters, even without the presence of Usain Bolt, he knew he needed to run fast.
I knew coming into tonight, it was going to be a fast race. I knew that it was going to take something special to win tonight. So I just been really just in the lab, just training hard. Probably trained a lot more this year for the 200 than the 100. So just trying to like make sure my endurance was there and making sure that I was fit for the rounds. Of course, like I had a good warm up. I felt really good. And I really just had to just really execute my game plan. If I could execute my game plan, I knew that I was going to come away with a medal. I knew it was going to be tight, and it was tight. So definitely thankful and appreciative that, I got the gold.
The gold is the fifth Olympic medal for DeGrasse, and he's now Canada's new record holder in the 200 meters. His time of 19.62 seconds makes him the eighth fastest man in that event. American Kenneth Benarek captured the silver in the 200 meters, and despite coming up just short of the win, Benarek said he's happy to finish with a personal best.
I mean, obviously, I wanted to get that gold medal, and I thought I almost had it, but it was just a little bit out of reach. But it was a tight race, and I got a personal best out of this race and, a silver medal, and I'm just happy with my performance.
American world champion Noah Lyles was expected to win the 200 meters in Tokyo, but he took home the bronze. And afterwards, he talked openly about his long training season and struggles with mental health leading up to the games.
Mentally and physically, it's been very long. I'd say coming off of antidepressants, going on antidepressants, kind of deciding to do the double, not making the 100, coming back in the 2, just being okay with, everything I've been doing. It got hard at one point to train and scared that I might injure myself. To be honest, even waking up yesterday with a swollen knee and be like, shoot, I might not be able to run. At the same time, it's nice to have the medal. Everybody says that it's a great accomplishment, and it is. Being an Olympic medalist, I always want fast people to compete against, because when I see other people run fast, it makes me want to go faster.
Also, Kenyan Emmanuel Corrier won gold in the 800 meters, a race he says is tough both physically and mentally.
I'm so happy. Having this gold, it's a great achievement. It takes a lot, to be here today. So a lot of pressure, training hard, tension. You have to think, you have to analyze. The tactical you're gonna use. To beat other guys, because everyone, is tough, especially, maybe I can say this 100 meter, 800 meters was the toughest one.
Compatriot Ferguson Rotich won the silver to give Kenya a 1-2 finish in that event. Kenya has now won the men's 800 meters at 4 consecutive Olympic Games. On the women's side, Peruth Chemutai made history as the first Ugandan woman to win an Olympic medal. Chemutai won gold in the 3,000 steeplechase in national record time. And afterwards, she said she's proud to represent the people of Uganda.
I'm so happy today to be the Olympic champion. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my country. Now it's the first time to get the medal in Uganda since 2015 in Commonwealth Games. But today, I'm so happy.
And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
My name is Shida Lynn, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheeta, and congratulations on making your Olympic debut in Tokyo.
I'm Heidi Adams. Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa as we look at the complex political situation and growing humanitarian disaster in Ethiopia, where civil war has displaced many residents in the country's northern Tigray region. VOA's Heather Murdoch takes us inside refugee camps in neighboring Sudan in the documentary Terror in Tigray. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. In African women's club football, Hasakas Ladies of Ghana will play Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa on Friday in Cairo, Egypt, with the inaugural CAF Women's Champions League trophy at stake. In semifinal results Monday, Hasakas Ladies defeated AS FAR of Morocco 2-1, and Mamelodi Sundowns edged Malabo Kings of Equatorial Guinea 5-4 on penalty kicks after the teams played 90 minutes of scoreless football. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 19-year-old Evelyn Badu of Hasakas Ladies. Evelyn has been one of the top players in this first edition of the CAF Women's Champions League competition in Cairo. Evelyn scored the winning goal on Monday in the 76th minute, and she now has a tournament-leading 5 goals. Meanwhile, Nigeria's Rivers Angels Club was eliminated in the group stage after 1 win and 2 losses. The team is based in Port Harcourt, the capital of Rivers State. And for reaction to the team's performance, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the Rivers State Commissioner of Sports, Boma Iyaye.
Basically, the girls tried and they did their best, but unfortunately their best is not good enough. Having been the first team in Nigeria to represent Nigeria in the first ever CAF Champions League for women, we expected more from them. We expected them to at least get to the semifinals, if not the finals of the championship. But unfortunately, they are out and could not make it to the preliminary stages. The main reason which I can allude to their crashing out of the championship is basically a result of inexperience. I think that the quality of Rivers Angels was good enough to defeat their opponents, especially in the first 2 games where they played against South Africa and Morocco. I expected them to do better than the results that came out of that meeting with those teams. Unfortunately, because of inexperience and the fact that they did not have enough test games before they went for the championship. If you can also remember, the Nigerian Women Football League is on recess for the past how many months? So there is no competitive championship that is going on there. You know, so we only had to make use of friendly matches which were not competitive enough for them to test their ability and their strength going forward to the games. But that's not an excuse. They're failed. But we want to say that they did not do badly. Out of 3 games, they won 1 and then lost 2 games. We expected that they should have been able to win at least 2 games to push them through to the semifinals. But it was late by the time they picked up from the loss to South Africa and Morocco and then played in their final game against Kenya, which they won convincingly by 4-0. But it was late at that time for them to proceed to the next stage of the competition.
Rivers Angels finished on a high from their group, but did not make it to the semi-finals. What are the lessons learned from the championship?
Yes, if there are gains learned from this championship, I want to say yes, there are a couple of gains. First, the girls are now exposed, so they can play in any tough, in any championship all over the world. They don't have excuses of not being exposed at this level again. You know, so that is one good thing that they will take back home. And then also, they will go back and prepare for the next football season, which will commence sometime in December, and then prepare very hard and commence the league so that hopefully they should be able to represent Nigeria again in the next CAF Women's Championship 2022.
Going forward, are there plans to strengthen the team ahead of future national and international games?
Well, if they're going to strengthen the team, yes, I agree, they're going to strengthen the team. I mean, you cannot say that the team is in the best position now. I mean, so you have to bring in one or two new players to strengthen the team as it is today, you know. It's a very nice team, very good team. A team that have five players in Falconets, five players in the Falcons. It's a very good team, you know. It's one of the best in Nigeria. But unfortunately, like I said, experience was not on the side, you know, so they couldn't make it to the semifinals and finals of the Women's Championship. But we want to say that as sponsors of the team, we tried our best. We made sure that they have everything available for them in terms of motivation and welfare. But unfortunately, they could not go through. That is football. Sometimes you lose some and you win some. So I want to say, welcome back home, Rivers Angels. But we expected that you should have done better than what you did. Go back home, prepare, and then get your acts together for the next football season.
That's Boma Iyaye, the Rivers State Commissioner of Sports. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. In American-style football, the San Francisco 49ers defeated the visiting Los Angeles Rams Monday night in a matchup between two California-based NFL teams. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Santa Clara, California.
The 49ers finally win their first home game of the season as they battered the Rams 31-10. Jimmy Garoppolo started 12 of 12 and finished 15 of 19 for 182 yards and two touchdowns.
Honestly, it felt like pretty similar to the Super Bowl year, that year that we did. I mean, it felt like we ran the ball 30 times every time that year. And it's just when we could do that and, like I said, be successful on third down, it's a good recipe for us.
Deebo Samuel had five catches for 97 yards, including a 40-yard touchdown reception. Samuel also with an 8-yard scoring run. For the Rams, Matthew Stafford was 26 of 41 for 243 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions.
Got to go execute. We didn't do it on offense and didn't help our defense out early, you know, and then really had some chances, you know, in the third quarter to kind of climb back in it and didn't get it done. So that's what it comes down to.
Cooper Kupp had 11 catches for 122 yards, but Los Angeles has lost two straight. Ryan Leong, Santa Clara.
Thanks, Ryan. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Chicago Bulls got a big game from DeMar DeRozan and scored a road victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
DeMar DeRozan scored a season-high 38 points, and the Bulls won at the Lakers 121-103.
I want to be successful tonight. You know, just go out there, compete, have fun with my teammates, and, you know, the goal every single night is try to come out with a victory. And, you know, that's our job every single night, and I just try to do my job.
Chicago made 15 three-point shots to only 6 for Los Angeles. Lonzo Ball scored 27 points, also a season high, making 7 baskets from downtown. Talen Horton Tucker finished with 28 points to top the Lakers. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. The Bulls improved to 10 wins and 4 losses with that victory, while the Lakers now have a record of 8 victories and 7 defeats. Lakers coach Frank Vogel says after playing 12 of 15 games at home, he's looking forward to an upcoming 5-game road trip.
We welcome the road trip. You know, be good for us. You know, we've been struggling. You know, a little bit up and down. We're fighting our, you know, for consistency. And, you know, changing environment should be good for us.
Elsewhere around the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks rallied to beat the Denver Nuggets. The AP's Bob Stevens reports from Dallas, Texas.
The Dallas Mavericks snapped the Denver Nuggets' five-game winning streak with a 111-101 comeback victory. So the Mavs improved to 9-4, while the Nuggets dropped to 9-5. The Mavs, who lost to Denver by 31 a month ago, got sweet revenge. Mavs trailed by 13 in the third, but outscored Denver 62-43 in the second half. The Mavs were led by Kristaps Porzingis, who had 29.
It's one of those games that we knew that they're coming off of a back-to-back, and you know, we just had to grind it out and play hard and push them physically. But they're a great team. They hung in there until the very last moment, so it was a good one for us.
Luka Doncic added 23 and 11 assists, and Tim Hardaway 19 points, including 13 in the decisive fourth quarter.
We knew going into the fourth, we wanted to get the pace going, get it high, and we knew that we understood that they were coming off a back end of a back-to-back. So just wanted to get that pace going higher and making sure that when we get stops, everybody getting rebound and we just run.
Nikola Jokic had a season-high 35 to lead Denver.
It was a little bit of mess in the whole last three, five minutes, and they were better in that mess. You know, they score. When they need it, they score in the one-on-one situations.
Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. My favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, won their fifth game in a row Monday night when they beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans 105-100. The Wizards are off to their second best start in team history with a record now of 10 wins and 3 losses. And Washington won without star guard Bradley Beal, who has missed the team's last two games following the death of his grandmother. The Wizards head coach, Wes Unseld Jr., says he expects Beal will rejoin the team this week for road games against the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. The Heat scored a 103-90 road victory Monday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. In the other NBA results from Monday, the Boston Celtics beat the host Cleveland Cavaliers 98-92. The Sacramento Kings scored a big 129-107 road victory over the Detroit Pistons. The Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and soared past the visiting Orlando Magic 129-111. The New York Knicks defeated the visiting Indiana Pacers 92-84. The Memphis Grizzlies mauled the Houston Rockets 136-102. The Phoenix Suns edged the host Minnesota Timberwolves 99-96. And the Portland Trail Blazers beat the visiting Toronto Raptors 118-113.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Masai. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to former world heavyweight boxing champion Frank Bruno, who is celebrating his 60th birthday on this Tuesday. Now, the pinnacle of Bruno's boxing career was in 1995 when he won the WBC heavyweight title by beating American Oliver McCall at a packed Wembley Stadium in London. Frank Bruno also faced multiple top-rated heavyweights throughout his career in the fight game, including two fights against Mike Tyson, both losses, and a much ballyhooed all-British bout against Lennox Lewis in 1993. That was another loss for Bruno. Frank Bruno has remained a popular celebrity with British sports fans since his retirement from boxing. And on this Tuesday, we say happy 60th birthday, Frank Bruno.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
And that wraps up the November 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.